I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. If that intro music sounds familiar, it's because our financial expert, Cheryl Marshall, is joining us today. Slightly different role today. She's going to be joining us to talk about one of our 30 issues in 30 days, election coverage issues. And this one is standards of living. Specifically, what are we talking about when you talk about a standard of living? And has that changed for so many people? We've heard a lot about that in all the elections, both the Senate race and the presidential race, about the standard of living and how the middle class has been hammered and the standard of living has gone down for so many people. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, Emily. This is a much more sober conversation than others we've had in the past.
Yeah. Well, is it true? Has the standard appreciably decreased for that many people?
It has in many cases, but we have a few things where it has actually improved. And as you said, a lot of the current election is about the vaunted middle class, and that's what we're going to mostly talk about, is how standards of living have changed for that vaunted group. I have so much data, and some of it is conflicting, but I want to just preface this by saying I use three major sources for a lot of our conversation today: the U.S. Census Bureau and their Bureau of Labor Statistics and Income, the Pew Foundation, and the Carnegie Mellon Foundation. I think those are all pretty good sources, versus people who are, you know, when you Google something, they say, I know the answer to that. Okay.
All right, just give us some parameters. Middle class is...
A study from the Pew... Middle class, they define the middle class from the Pew Research Center as Americans with income between $39,000 and $118,000.
Per family or per individual?
Per family, okay.
So it could be a family of two, family of six.
That's correct. This is a household. And what they discovered was that for the first time, those incomes fell backwards since the end of World War II. And the number of Americans who fit into that category shrunk from 61% in 1971 to just 51% in 2011.
And where did they fall to?
They
went from the middle class to the what?
Well, the next question is, what is the new definition of the middle class? So what they're saying now, that it has fallen from 72,956. Remember, this isn't the median. This is the what's considered a middle class, down to 69,500. Now, the census says that in 2002, and by the way, I'm using 2002 not just because it's a 10-year benchmark and we always like to look at a benchmark, but also we were coming out of a recession then too, so that we are kind of comparing apples to apples in this case. The median income for American households in 2002 was $42,409. In 2011, which is the last full year we have data for, it was $50,054. But the big difference is, in 2009, the year that the Great Recession supposedly ended, the median income of United States households had been $52,195. That's measured in 2011 dollars. So what they're saying is that even though the recession has ended, that median income is still slipping. And the median income of American households decreased by as much in the 2 years after the official end of the Great Recession as it did during the recession itself. And that's really important, because what it's saying is that our standards of living are still slipping.
Mm-hmm. How has it affected people? You know, there was this little bit of a dust-up over the weekend when Barack Obama said, I have, you know, my tax cuts have saved the average household $3,600 a year. And they're going, who, what, where? I don't see, what are you talking about?
I think that was a communication problem, frankly, because people's payroll taxes were cut. And in my opinion, a lot of people don't look at their paychecks as carefully as they should. And if it's $3,600 over a year, so you're looking at what?
A lot.
You know, yeah. But a little under $300 a month, okay, or a little bit more than $300 a month. And maybe people just aren't paying attention, because that is a fact that the payroll taxes were cut. But, continuing on this, you know, the changes in the standard of living have cut across all age groups. And I found it very interesting. I had emailed yesterday to say that I was going to talk about the Consumer Price Index. And what do you see in the front page of the Globe today? A big story about somebody going around and checking the prices on the Consumer Price Index. So
that was interesting. That guy goes around, that's his
correct
job, Jim Dugan or something, goes around to the stores and he checks year to year to year apples,
right.
You know, per unit price or milk or I wondered how they always knew that.
Yes.
Stuff.
Well, I'm glad because most people say, oh, the CPI and it's talked about and nobody really knows what's in the consumer price index. So I am here to tell everybody what exactly is in the CPI. Food and beverages, which include meat, milk, beer, wine, snacks, housing, which is important, your rent of your primary residence, your owner's equivalent rent, fuel, oil, bedroom furniture, etc. So it includes some assets. Apparel, what you buy, clothes like pants, shirts, sweaters, transportation, vehicles, airline fares, gasoline. They measure medical care, hospital services, drugs, all of that. What you spend on recreation, TV, your pets, movies, etc. Education and communication, college costs, telephone services, computer software, postage, and then other, which would include smoking products, cigarettes, cigars, haircuts, and other personal services. So that's
just everything.
So, yeah, it is most everything. And, you know, to me, as someone who shops quite frequently for groceries and everything else, I think the basket has gotten very, very high. In 2002, the measure, which you can find, it's a very complicated calculation, actually, on the Bureau, the U.S. Labor Bureau and the statistics area, it was 1.6% in 2002. And in 2012, it's 3.2%. It's a measure of how much more you are paying over the previous year.
Over the previous year.
Right. But they use, you know, constant dollars. So what we're seeing is that obviously things are much more expensive. But I think for 2011, which is the year that we have the most amount of the data for, 3.2 seems awfully low to me. It allows consumers to purchase at today's prices, you know, what you asked, a market basket of goods, and they do have, you know, a market basket equivalent to one that they could purchase in an earlier year. So if you take all those things we talked about, let's say it's a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, your cable and internet service, and you adjust it for today's dollars, how much has it increased in price? And as of 2011, it's 3.2%.
Yeah, but the point is that your salary hasn't gone up that much.
Well, it's not just that. It's just that I think it's going to be way worse in 2012 with all the crazy weather that we had this year and the prices.
More to come of that.
Yeah, food, you know,
so
vegetables.
We're going to get people to join in on the conversation. 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm actually curious. People consider themselves the middle class. I don't care what class you consider yourself. Just, you know, but how the how you think your standard of living has changed. And maybe because you're paying, you know, $56,000 a year to send that kid to college and you don't qualify for any kind of, you know, financial break because you make too much money. But that would cut into your standard of living if you got a kid or two in college.
We talked about that last week, and the price of college has risen 20 times higher than inflation.
That's ridiculous.
It's outrageous.
877-301-8970 if you want to join in. Shara Marshall, we're doing our 30 issues in 30 days, and we're talking about just standard of living and how that's changed.
Do you know what the new middle class trust fund is?
Middle class trust fund.
Yes.
Is this going to be a joke?
Kind of a sad joke.
Go
it's
ahead.
For when college grads move home with their parents.
Oh.
The new middle class trust fund is a bed and a cable and internet connection.
Oh.
So
I'm paying that.
Yeah, well, that's how standards of living have changed for college grads. I mean, we would not have been having this conversation 10 years ago about college grads moving back home with their parents. And baby boomers, my goodness. You know what's going on. The combination of recession and low interest rates have postponed or drastically altered people's retirement plans. On January 1st...
That is amazing. I just had this conversation over the weekend with a whole bunch of people at a certain age group, and not one of them felt like they could retire.
Right. Well, January 1st, 2011, the oldest members of the baby boom generation celebrated their 65th birthday. Listen to these numbers. On that day, today, and for every day for the next 19 years, 10,000 baby boomers will reach age 65. The aging of this huge cohort of all of us, 26% of the United States population are baby boomers, is dramatically altering the composition of the country, not to mention what's going to happen with housing and, you know, foods that we eat, you know, many other things. Currently, just 13% of Americans are ages 65 and older. By 2030, and I hope we're still sitting here talking, when all members of the baby boom generation have reached that age, 18% of the nation will be that age. And just as boomers are retiring in drove, interest rates are at record lows. So imagine you've got, for example, a $500,000 portfolio. 11 years ago, the 10-year Treasury bill was trading at 5-something. Guess where it's trading now? 1.75%. You try living off of that. It's almost impossible.
Your savings, what are those? They don't even give you 1%,
right.
Do you?
No, this is a 10-year Treasury.
No, I know, but I'm talking about standard.
Some of them do. So you're talking about you going from $25,000 a year in income, and 10 years later, it's $8,750. You know, all these people who've scrimped and saved and try to put money away, I mean, it's unbelievable. And if you've got inflation, you know, the CPI rising, and I think we probably will have inflation some years down the road, I honestly don't know what's going to happen.
Join the conversation, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're talking 30 issues in 30 days, and today we're actually just talking about the basic standard of living. How much does a president control standard of living? Presidents get blamed for everything.
I know.
You know, they get credit for everything. They get blamed for everything. They say, I will do this, and I will do that.
I thought the gas story was hilarious. When prices were going up, you know, the Republicans were screaming that it was his fault. And then when they came down, they didn't say, yay, the president did a great job in bringing gas prices down.
Well, they're going back up. It's his fault again.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that I think, isn't one of those extremely complicated questions, because you've got a huge amount of supply and demand. In terms of agriculture this year, as I was mentioning before, you're going to have so many crops and fruits and vegetables go through the roof. Michigan lost a huge amount of their crops. This all matters when we're buying things.
Give us a little good news, Cheryl. We've got some calls coming in. You said that some people are better off.
Okay, yes.
Oh.
Now, this is probably, you know, some of my best news ever, okay? The number of private jets in the United States, okay, has gone up to 15,000
jets.
Well,
this is all about the income gap, the inequality gap.
Yes, and that's exactly right. So we now have 15,000 private jets, and on the Trade Association website, it's argued that only 3% are for personal use. The rest are for the government and charitable foundations and, Fortune 500 companies. So that kind of cracked me up. And I found it very interesting. The data for private planes was very opaque. I had a lot of trouble finding exactly.
So has Brian McGrory, who's done a lot of about
Liberty Mutual. Extremely opaque.
Difficult.
Okay.
All right, we've got some calls coming in here, Cheryl. We've got Dave from Rochester. I don't think he's got a good news story. Hey, Dave.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. You were talking about CPI and the food basket. The last time my wife and I went to the store, which was a week ago, and we went to one of the local supermarkets, which is the cheapest in the area, we blew about almost $300, $275.
How many people are in your family?
Three adults. We've got my wife, my son, who is a college graduate, who's working part-time in retail.
He's part of that middle-income trust fund, huh?
Yeah, he's the middle-income trust fund, and myself. And I've been retired for 8 years, worked part-time, simply because when the recession of 2009 hit, my 401k took a beating.
Yeah.
And so...
Does your son contribute at all to the groceries, or he can't?
Hmm?
Does he contribute to the groceries?
No. No, he doesn't. Contributes a little bit here and there, but he's not making enough to really make it
beer,
worthwhile.
In other words, okay.
But the week before, we went a couple weeks before, and it was $2.65. So, I mean, we went up $10 in a couple of weeks. Hmm. As your guest said, the price of everything is going up. Fuel oil this winter is going to kill us.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call.
It's different, okay?
You know, I think people also have become, I hope, more conscious about waste. I hate it when I six apples and I let three of them go bad.
Yeah, I think so, and I hope so.
Guilty.
But you had asked the question before about the number of people, you know, we're talking about, let's say, the 1% right here, but a more interesting statistic is the number of Americans who are falling out of the middle class, okay? Because there are 61% of people in the quote-unquote, there were 61% of all income in America in 1971 was in the middle class, and that's fallen to 51% in 2011.
All right, I've got Peter on the line from Providence. Go ahead, Peter. Peter, are you there?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people are overlooking when we ask about whether we're better off now than we were 4 years ago is the performance of the stock market, even though, you know, a minority of people in the country are vested in the stock market, a lot of people have money in, through their pensions, and they saw their pensions get absolutely hammered about 4 years ago, and now that's money, that money's come back. So I think that we have to factor in the stock market rise if we're talking about how people are faring today.
That's a very, very good point, except for the people who don't have pensions, most of their money is invested far more conservatively, and once they're ready to take it out, generally speaking, they do put them in income-producing things. But that is a very good point.
That is a good point. All right, I got one more call here. Alice from Dedham. Go ahead, Alice.
Hi, I am the person you just described. I turned 65 this February. I am retired since 2005. I saw too many of my colleagues wait late and retire. I was a teacher, which means I don't qualify for Social Security or Medicare. Even though previously I contributed it, I need 7 quarters. But try and find a part-time job so that you can earn those quarters. And so the cost of living here in the COLA for teachers went up a whopping 3% on $13,000 as opposed to the $12,000 it had been for 40 years. So my dollar isn't going as far as it used to.
All right, Alice, thanks for the call. I'm sorry to say, but we're just about out of time, but thanks for the call.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So she's just saying her dollar isn't going where it used to go.
I think we could all say that. Yeah. Some things are much cheaper, though. Clothing, for example. Have you noticed that?
No.
Yes, it is. I mean, unless you're buying at the very top of the food chain, you know, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, everything else, the clothing pretty inexpensive.
Really?
Well, most of it's made in China.
That's true.
Most of it is imported. And I would say clothing prices are much cheaper.
Yeah. All right. We've been talking about the changing standards of living with Cheryl Marshall, our financial expert and host of Everything Money. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. Tune in tomorrow. We'll continue our 30 issues in 30 days with a look at legalizing medical marijuana. That's one of the ballot questions Bay Staters will be voting on come Election Day. I'm Emily Rooney. Have a great afternoon.